I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Thursday, June 7, 2012. First order of business this morning is the computer systems update.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you will identify yourselves for the tape, we'll move forward.
Robert Dixon, Taney County Recorder.
Mark Riz, IS Department.
Melissa Trotter, IS Department.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to update you a little bit on some computer stuff that we've been working on. As you know, our provider's Fiddler in the recorder's office, and Fiddler sent a representative here, Cheryl McCartney, on April 26th. And I was at Fiddler corporate offices in Moline from April 21st to the 23rd. And Mrs. Trotter was at DocuWare seminar in Florida, Orlando, Florida, on the same days I was in at the corporate office of Fiddler. The purpose of the on-site visit by Fiddler was to examine our current workflow and explain to us what the new ADVID computer system would do for us. We've talked about the ADVID system for several months now and going to it. She was here for a day and a half. We looked at the current process of what we do with Fiddler. She was impressed that we were very efficient. We looked at the proposed system with an online presentation. Of course, I was looking for ease of recording, increased productivity, anything that would help our end user. There are several reports that ADVID would give us that would help us, but we saw some flaws in the new system. What we saw was that the new system would not benefit us at all. What we saw was that over-the-counter recording would cease. Big batches, which we get late in the day. We get recording now about 3 o'clock in the afternoon from UPS and FedEx, and some of those batches are 600 to 800 documents. This new system, we could not process them that day. We're on a basis of we process the same day we get the document and we return it the next day. We would not be able to do that with the new system. With the on-desk scanners, we would have to scan up to 3 times individual documents, where now we place them in the Canon 5060 and scan them at 100 pages a minute. So the new system is not going to work for us. So we will not, the decision, which is my decision, we will not be going to ADVID. Okay. It's just not, it's free because we're a life cycle customer, but just because it's free does not mean it's the best.
Bob, I understand what you said, and why would they, do you think, create an update of an existing system or for an existing system that moves us backwards instead of moves us forward?
I think it's designed for smaller counties, and I think it would be fine where you're just recording, say, 100 documents a day. And it would be, you know, it would cost you less to do that. But for us, in our volume, it's not going to work.
And the type of volume that it gets, I mean, not all counties will get 300 documents at the very end of the day. And the recorder's office right now is recording the same day. So the way the workflow works on the new Avid system, you just have to do things in a different order, which actually isn't as efficient on. So he can, with the current system he's running right now, he can record the documents quicker and get them back out to the people that need them recorded, and then kind of finish up the details afterwards, where the new system makes you do everything from start to finish before the document's officially recorded.
So it sounds like you'd carry us to the past, where we used to have documents that sat there for
3 weeks.
Weeks,
yeah. We're not.
Have you, did they mention anything about, because I know that timeshare has to be one of the things that comes rolling in a
That's
mass
it.
Quantity.
That's it.
And so the other counties that would have timeshare, such as Camden area of Sheldon County.
That's Camden. Really the biggest one. Camden is probably the biggest one, Lake of the Ozarks area.
Yeah, and so.
They're not on, they're not a Fiddler.
Right, they don't run the same software.
They don't.
No.
So.
Fiddler is also in elections, right?
Yes.
Yeah, software.
So they also have a new product called Pentegrity, and that's where you can tie my database to the assessor's database and take the parcel numbers and match them to the actual deeds. A couple of years ago, we started looking at Pentegrity, or something like Pentegrity, and Melissa has already developed, using their software and talking to them, we actually spurred them into doing that type of thing. And they're big in this in St. Louis, but I'll let you address that a little bit.
Well, the currently Fiddler, and we're able to basically update the Fiddler program with the parcel numbers using the information that James's staff enters into their real estate program. By doing it this way, we also have allowed iDoc to access the Beacon program from within the web-based system. We expect to...
We would like to, at some point, when you go into Beacon and the parcel number, be able to, through Beacon, pull the last deed. So that's what Melissa's been working on.
Yes.
So that's, you know, all these upgrades that they want to sell you, we're working on in-house. The Monarch system, that's another system they have. And they just sent me an addendum to our contract to sign it, which I'm doing some research on, is where the documents that we sell in bulk, they would take over that, and where we cut a CD weekly for the people that buy in bulk, which there's five people, they could go online and retrieve that information without us cutting this CD. The drawback that I see, and they don't tell you in the contract, is that they're going to tack on a fee for doing that. So we have some questions about Monarch. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about this morning, a couple of things, is DocuWare improvements. And Melissa went down to Florida for the annual DocuWare seminar. We have in the database where we have the old records filmed by the underground, and in front of you, you have three sample documents. The first one is a TIFF image, which is a colored document. It's slick, it's got a little bit of brown on it, and you can tell that's a pretty good document. It's fairly readable, it's in the computer, all those are in the computer. That's DocuWare at this time by the underground.
This is right here, the color one.
Right.
Okay.
So you get about a 50% improvement in the image when you do it in color. So we have the color printers in my office. Now the color, that color image is called a JPEG image. The next document that you have is where I had the JPEG image shifted into Fiddler iDoc.
That one or the other one?
The other one.
The real poor quality one.
Poor quality.
Goodness, okay.
We have about 190,000 documents.
Like that?
Poor quality in iDoc. iDoc Fiddler's telling me that there is the only way that that can be remedied is for them to come down and rescan those books.
So it was scanned in with poor quality. You just
Because when you take the JPEG image
and convert it
to a TIFF.
Oh, it's a it's a compression TIFF. Okay.
Mr. Dixon had all of the older historical documents imported from DocuWare into Fiddler, which basically brought his system up to having all leads in it. Unfortunately, when they imported those documents, they converted it from the JPEG to a TIFF, and it is very poor quality. You're just not able to read them.
Now, the last...
So to get the better quality back is to rescan all 190,000 images.
That's what they're telling me.
Okay.
At a cost of probably $30,000 to $50,000. However, Mr. Mark, and I wanted to bring this to your attention, the third image you have, because he's written a script or a program that he can convert them to that image.
What TIFF still?
We just chose a different method of conversion. So
it's a much better quality.
Will the other image be this good or better?
Yes.
Are we the one that they produce?
Yeah. It could be better. It could be better. Because they're going to take
this is so much better than the image that we got.
Right.
It's just incredible.
And we can do that here. And what I want to convey to you is that Mark has done this, and it's a great savings to the county.
Wow. And man-hours. Goodness. I mean, how long would it take to scan 190,000?
Well, they want to come down here for a week to do it.
Yeah. Storage-wise, there's no...
Not really.
And Melissa can convert, once that image is converted, we'll put that image, Mark's image, into Fiddler.
You'll take this image and upload it to Fiddler, and then overriding that one.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever the recorder's office puts up those documents in iDoc, the new image will show up instead,
That's wonderful.
I think it's a great thing for the county. It saves us a lot of money, gives us a lot better product.
I'd go sell your image to help to Fiddler. Then obviously you need the help. Joking.
When I was up at Fiddler's corporate office, they have about...
I don't think Fiddler's the least bit interested if they're making $50,000 in a week's time for documents that they scan and finding something that will save us money.
Yeah. I don't think so. Anyway, the IS department's doing a fantastic job, and that's what I'm here to tell you. And you probably wouldn't know this unless I came here and tell you.
You're right, we wouldn't. And I appreciate you pulling. We have so many other things, and we don't know how good IT staff we have until you bring some things to our attention.
The other thing is that when I walk into Fiddler, they're always asking me, "We'd like to hire Melissa. We'd love to have her on our staff." And they tell me that every year.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about...
Mark, too.
Yes. You want to talk about the DocuWare seminar.
Yes. DocuWare held its first user conference on May 21st through the 24th. It's the first time that they allowed the users to attend this training session. Most of the time they only allow their partners to attend. Brandy Huffman and I were able to attend several classes. There was a variety of levels for each. There was a user level, an administration level, and a management level. The goal of attending these classes is to bring the county forward,
mm-hmm.
to be able to go to a paperless system eventually. The classes, some of the classes that I took, one was contract management, which was especially interesting. Nikki Lawrence has had several very good ideas over contract management over the past few years. So that one was a very interesting class that brought prospects of putting documents into the system and being able to create a workflow to attorneys, to you guys, to anybody that needs to see the documents. It was definitely, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
It was, right now we don't see all of the possibilities that DocuWare has. For the first time, we were able to see what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And DocuWare is actually moving toward a web-based system, which will allow us to move from, you can access it anywhere, basically. They're also moving from a TIFF image to PDF, which is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
And being able to search those documents with one keyword. So a very good, very informative seminar.
That's wonderful. What?
We're out of bullets.
Well, it's great work. I mean, it's great that the IT can help, you know, and collaboratively solve a problem without the extra expense and time, and it's wonderful.
I think it's a great thing, and I'd just like the people to know out there that's listening to this that the IT department does not work for me. They work for you.
Thank you, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, very much.
Now you need to go ahead and go.
Tell me.
Yeah. Just go ahead.
We need Donna to come in and appoint one of these.
I think Lincoln swears in. Can you swear in? What do you want?
It's your turn.
My turn. Okay. Gotcha.
That I will faithfully demean myself in the position of temporary presiding commissioner for which I was appointed the 7th day of
January.
I do. All right. All right. Nikki, agenda request.
Yes.
And you've given it.
Danny,
you got the list in front of you?
Mm.
You got the list, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
There are 5 items.
Uh-huh.
On the list. 3 of them I was directed by you to keep on there.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom 2 are the new ones.
The last one, Danny, I think we can probably do that Monday, couldn't we? Item number 5?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and put that on there for Monday. Maybe during our executive session time so that we can discuss them if there needs to be correction. We have executive session Monday. Is that correct?
At 1 o'clock.
Why don't we schedule this
maybe at the end of executive, or just put it the last thing on the list. That way we can go through executive, discuss the meeting, the notes, and if we need to make corrections at that point, and then we can vote on it after that, if there is anything. You all right with that?
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I need more details. I know I'm the one who requested it. I just need more details of a timeline. You see what they...
Right.
And...
I never received a phone call.
I know you have too, and, you know... So, what I would say is, and Ron's not here to even get his feedback on that, we probably just need to wait till Monday to discuss it again. What do you think,
right,
Ronnie?
I think, and wait to see when he wants to put on the...
Okay.
Agendize it.
Because I know... What now?
Leave it on.
I would leave it on, and I know you guys are working on visiting number three, and we're waiting on MoDOT on number one, I mean number two, and then... did you get contact Mary Ellen?
Initially I did, but the last agenda request meeting, you guys directed me to send out an email to First Class Counties,
uh-huh,
which I have done. I'm in process of gathering information.
So we're just waiting on that.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be put on the agenda until we get that information back.
No, it's kind of on hold.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Do you guys have anything that you would like on the agenda for next week?
I mean, the item four was the only thing, but we got to find more details on that.
Okay. And you may have some additional items.
Is there anything in the email? I mean, I haven't seen anything in the email related to issues that we haven't. Now, we do have an executive session scheduled personnel on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I think Don Blue sent us an email, Danny, personnel related.
Okay. And then... there's probably a couple of things, Jim. We probably need an executive session to visit about a contract for the ambulance district.
Okay.
We need to review where we're at in that situation.
Other than the property?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen an email from the surveyor yet.
So I haven't. So, but between now and then, I'd just like to have it on there in case it does come up. This needs to be something that... handled rather quickly.
Just put on that as a reminder, and would you I'll send an email and carbon you, Nikki, about the status of that survey that we're getting done. We have a survey that we ordered
right. For
the FN-160 property, and I don't have an update yet, but I know that they're working on it, last I checked, but we'll probably, why don't you put that on there as FN-160 and in the notes or the responses waiting for survey.
Yeah. Because there might be a possibility of having to take action on that if we receive something.
The other thing was you sent an email about the extension, Missouri extension, some invoices that we don't have line items for. Why don't we put Missouri extension on Monday? We saw that email. That needs to be. We have to address that. And Linda's not in here, but Linda also sent all of us an email regarding our... drug and alcohol testing program. She wanted to talk about that. So that would you talk to Linda? Do you remember the email about the testing contract and what they test for, and then the accident procedure? Would you get with Linda and see if she wanted to discuss that in open session? If she had specific personnel, she was going to. I think this will be an open discussion, but would you ask her if she wants that?
Would you can you post it as open, possibly going to
executive for personnel?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any other anything else that you've sent emails on. So.
We may have more after we meet with Road and Bridge.
We might.
Discuss, but we'll bring those to you.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else?
No.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks.
Next on the agenda is court orders and abatements. Ms. Donna, you come up to the table.
Good
Oh, and James, I'm sorry. I saw you there, but I, sorry. James and Donna at the table. Thank you.
If I'm Miss Donna, does that make him Mr.?
Mr. Donna.
No, you're not.
Mr. James? I could call him Mr. James. That's fine.
Gentlemen, we've got two, one abatement and one request for hearing. This one you have heard before. This is Church Army USA. You have exempted 2009 and 2010. We brought 2011 to you, and you gave us direction to take it to summer BOE. We cannot take it to summer BOE because we cannot hear past years in summer BOE. You did exempt 2009 and 2010. We have 2011 waiting. I mean, you have voted no on it before, but you had also voted no on 2009 and 2010 and then reversed that decision just recently because it was going to the tax sale. So I'm not sure why we would wait for it to go to the tax sale again to make a decision.
This is an action of the BOE or action of the county commission?
It's been both.
What do you guys recommend?
I recommend you exempt it. It's a school.
Is this the school or the daycare?
This is the school. The daycare and the school is combined into the same thing now on T Highway. That's where they hung the sign of Church Army, but I believe you should exempt it, being the school.
So exemptions are handled by BOE action, is that correct?
And another.
You exempted 9 and 10 as the county commission.
Yeah, I believe the commission did vote 2-1 to exempt that.
Well, what I'm saying, Jim, is we don't have all three commissioners here on this issue.
Let's repost it.
I would repost that.
That one.
Unless you want to just send it on and take it to the commission and take it to court, I don't care.
Right.
It just keeps hitting us in the face, and it's just.
How are you going to take the state tax commission now? They should have appealed in 2011.
I guarantee you there's a way to go. I've seen it happen before.
Okay.
And go again.
Okay. I will direct them to take it to the state tax commission?
No, it should just be taken care of. This is not like we've got a piece of property where a school comes and goes. This has a name. It has it posted on T Highway as being a school, and we're still trying to tax it.
Well, the question, if I remember about the exemption, is exemption is for if the entity is open, basically open enrollment for all. And I don't know if Church Army's bylaws, if it's specific subclass of people or if it's all people. And I know the discussion we had on the daycare was only for those participating in Church Army programs were able to use the daycare, which by definition wouldn't qualify them for an exemption. I don't know about the school. And so that's what I don't know. I guess with the combination,
would you like me to contact them to see if they're open to the public?
Yeah, if they are, then absolutely from my perspective, it's open, and I would support an exemption. But
see if I can get a letter from them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, like I said, if I don't want it to come up whenever there's not three commissioners here. If the commission's going to have to settle this issue.
Right.
It needs to be settled with all three commissioners in a vote. If it's the problem with this thing is it is in constant change. And from the very first time that we heard this, which was totally different than what it is now.
You're right. All right. If you get the letter, then next time, I know we'll have another time to post this. But I guess my question is, do exemptions get hit by the board or by the commission? That's why I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Donna, do you?
They took action as a commission.
I know, but should they have?
Okay. I will get an answer from state tax.
Because, I mean, this is an exemption issue, so I'm curious if it's a BOE action or if it's a commission action.
I will give it
an
email from the state tax commission.
Okay.
The other property that we've heard from is Ozark Mountain Inn. They did a complete demolition of their building, and they are asking that the building be taken off of their tax bill. They came before the commission, and you told them that you would get with attorneys and speak with people in Joplin to see how people in Joplin handled it. So they've asked us to bring it back, and I don't know whether you have talked with
I've sent an email to one of the commissioners that I know, and I did not I haven't got a response, and I didn't follow up with a response.
I believe the other day in our meeting, Ron said that he had an email from...
Darius?
Darius.
That's who I sent an email to.
Well, I think he got a response.
Okay.
And we didn't. I haven't got a response.
Right.
So he's not here. I don't...
James, our occupancy policy is only for residential. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a Missouri state statute. It's nothing to do with what the county does. Missouri state statute addresses residential only. Commercial properties were left out. And I feel like they weren't supposed to be left out, but that's the way the statute came through. And we've been trying to get that fixed prior to Joplin. Joplin, Pierce City was the first incident. Joplin was the second incident. Everybody's been sitting on their duff in Jefferson City, not getting it fixed.
Right.
So now we have the Branson incident.
I can tell you that I'm, because the statute don't address it, I'm fully prepared to vote in favor of the abatement and take it off the books. That's where I'm at, Danny. What is the abatement number?
I don't have an abatement number.
So how would you, I mean, if I was going to...
You ordered me to write the abatement and approve the abatement and remove...
And I don't know where you are, Danny, if you want to discuss this before. What would you like to do?
Well... I feel the same way about this one as I did the last one, Jim.
Okay.
I think that if we're going to take action as a commission on these abatements, we need all three commissioners here.
Okay.
Even if the vote is not, you know, 1-2 or however the vote turns out, but I do think if we're going to take any action on this other than what we do on the BOE, where there's 5-member board,
right,
that we need all three members present.
Okay. Well, then let's repost this. Let's repost. Can you think you can get the answers for the Church Army on Monday?
Sure.
Let's just try to repost this. And for those wondering, Ron had a family illness that he got a text and he had to leave immediately. So that's why he's not here. So, I mean, he was here earlier and that's why he left. So let's repost that for Monday.
Okay.
I would advise the commission to get the ruling on the Pierce City,
okay,
and the Joplin. I think they've been rulings on both of them.
Okay.
State Tax Commission, I think the Pierce City went all the way to Circuit Court.
Really? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Pierce City, Lawrence County. What is Pierce City?
Mm-hmm. Lawrence County.
Yeah. It was the first one, I think.
So we contact, what contacts?
I can talk to Sam, Presiding Commissioner. Perfect. Well, guys, Road and Bridge, you want to come up to the table? I saw Mr. Stoll. Did he get tired of waiting and just walk out? Danny, are you good? You need a little recess or anything? Or?
No, I'm fine. We get through this.
And just before you start, Nikki, if you're listening, please repost court orders and abatements for Monday sometime in the agenda, if you can, in the morning.
Before I forget it, or you can make a note of it, there needs to be, I need an answer on where we're at in our mowing process. I got a call from some mail people.
We have started, we've been through Y-Highway, Forsyth, Taneyville, Bradleyville, and have started in Procam right now on the surface. But I did move on to the junction today, and we'll try to do something around the whole highway as we get land available to get on it, and then Rockaway.
Man, so you, my call was from Pro Tem, so you've got someone in that area.
Area that we can get to run the battery and put them on with the other stuff that they've done, they started Pro Tem this week.
All right.
All right. Who wants to start this? Thank you, Randy, for giving us a list to start off of. So
I want to. I'm going to start with an update from what I found out. The question was asked, the completion date on the T Highway 76 intersection. I did talk with a MoDOT inspector yesterday evening also, and we have a gentleman here that had a concern with drainage issue there along a turn lane in front of his property. I did talk to the inspector about that, and the project's not complete. Expected completion date is the end of next week. They are going to pave of an evening, I guess, out of the busy daytime. They're going to try to do paving on this intersection and try to complete that. That's their completion date, okay, according to him.
Okay.
If the weather doesn't change or anything like that. The concern that along the one property with drainage, and we did look at it, I looked at it with John, in my opinion, it's not going to drain correctly the way it is right now. And in relaying that to the inspector said that's going to change. Their plans is to change. It's that's not completed yet. The ditch line, current ditch line, will be deeper and will be bigger than what it is existing right now. I don't know that that will totally correct your problem or issue, John, but I don't know. That's the information I got so far from the inspector, and that's all I had time to talk with right then. And I didn't get to meet with him on site. But
there's a engineered set of plans on that, I'm sure, from MoDOT. But the size of the pipe with the drainage ditch that's there is, just from, and it's my opinion versus an engineer's opinion.
Sure. Is way common sense is a whole lot better than engineers sometimes. So.
Way too small for the length of it. It's 120 foot long, I think the pipe is. And
well, the information I did get from the inspector, there were several changes made from the original plan before they ever started construction. Several changes were made to drainage because they've seen other issues, so they did make changes. What all them changes were, I'm not sure of. But
the possibility that they made changes without changing the drainage system, if the project itself changed and they didn't change the drainage system to suit the project, that's what I'm concerned with. It doesn't look like that you were going to have water flow over the highway because the ditch won't hold it.
Well, so they're just saying the project's not done, so basically right. Wait.
Yeah, that's one of the issues I've seen. It may be a width issue, having enough room for the required ditch line to handle the flow with the existing fence line.
Who are you talking to from MoDOT? I mean, I guess the question is, we don't want them to finish the project and it be substandard, and we gotta go in there and fix it anyway because it's or damaged property while we're waiting to see if it works or not.
Right. It's the Great River is doing the engineering work for MoDOT, or they're either on location doing survey work or something. I don't know whether they're the engineers for it, but they are on location. I've seen their truck there several times with their men out there.
Sure.
But I don't understand how they can state that they're going to be done that quick whenever they've got possibly going to have to pull that ditch line and put a bigger.
Have you talked to Gregor?
No, I didn't have time to talk with them. I was trying to get a hold of MoDOT before quitting time yesterday to try to get as much information as I could. And,
well, obviously we don't want this thing done if it's not going to work. I mean, that's defeats the whole purpose.
Well, the safety reasons that we put that intersection in is vital to that area, but we have also a overrun on what the original amount of money that the county put into the project.
Right.
It is a state project, which we provided funds for safety purposes through our transportation board. Mm-hmm. It was one of the top priorities of the transportation board. We want to make sure that it's done correctly. If we see something, I don't think it's out of line. We've got money invested for us to speak up on behalf of the property owner and for the county. And so that's where I'm at on it. I want to make sure that that the property owner doesn't suffer damages and that the county doesn't defeat the purpose of the intersection by having too small a drainage ditch.
So, I mean, obviously we need to get with Great River Regatow and say, what's the engineer, what are they engineering it to? Because, and they need to know of our concerns. I think that would be the first thing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, if MoDOT's, obviously they're the biggest investor in the project, but if MoDOT's taking direction from the engineering company, I mean, they're hired to be the experts. And I would think that we need to get an update from Great River of what they're thinking.
I
would say if you can get a hold of Great River, have them come to us on Monday, and let's have a 30-minute conversation about that. I mean, if that's all right with you, Danny.
Yeah, I'm all for it. We need to.
I want to hear from the experts what they're thinking, and we can voice our concerns because, I mean, if we've got a concern, it's not going to fix the problem, but we have money involved.
Right.
I think we have a right to.
Well, the size of the pipe with 120 feet, any silt drainage or dirt that gets inside, it cuts down the capacity of a pipe that appears to be too small in the first place. And 120 feet is a long pipe. So
will you, Randy?
I'll call Great River and contact them. And
let Nikki know
maybe
ASAP.
Maybe we can also get somebody from MoDOT.
If we can't, I still think we need to have the meeting Monday with Great River, even if MoDOT doesn't show or can't show. If we put them on the phone or something, but.
Now, there's a possibility that the people that they have on, there was five people there with two Great River trucks, but they may be doing the survey work because I think the way I understood it, they were having some difficulty with the location of trying to get that thing put in there. They may not be involved in it, but I'd say they are. The state probably hired them. MoDOT probably hired them. But I want to talk with somebody at least Monday before the project gets to the point I can't see it being done that fast from where they're at now.
I think Great River, I mean, they're going to drive the specs what MoDOT's building to, so let's get to Great River. Do you want to say anything about it? Sure. Yeah.
John, if you don't care to
Go up to the
microphone.
Yeah, he'll just go up there and you can speak. And, that way we can record the conversations.
And speak your name and residence or address.
Yeah, I'm John White. And I own All About Stories right next to White River Electric where they're making the turn lane there.
Okay.
And like I say, I've been in the building business over 40 years. And if you'll look at this drawing I give you there on the upper left-hand corner, it says grade is zero. You all see that?
Upper left, it says zero.
Yeah, about 3 inches.
Right.
Okay. That's the lowest part on my drainage ditch right there. And that's what I started grade on, a zero. If you'll move to the left of there, I've got 5 foot, which is what they've had between my fence.
Mm-hmm.
And then at -2, that's 2 inches lower than my grade. That's the depth of the ditch right now, and the ditch is actually 14 inches wide.
It's 2 inches lower than yours, okay.
And then if you go on to the left a little more, their grade right now is plus 20 inches. So 20 inches higher than my grade.
Okay.
And then if you'll go back to the right, it says 52 foot. Mm-hmm. My grade, my drainage ditch there, is raised 2 inches, and if you go another 82 foot, you're raised 6 inches. And if you go straight up the sheet, my floor grade on my units is 11 inches above my zero grade. But yet, I'm still 9 inches lower than the road right back there. There's no way this water's going to drain down through there. This existing ditch that used to be there was about probably 9 to 10 foot wide. Water would flow 2.5 to 3 foot deep in it a lot of times. And they're trying to tell, I'm getting the people that I'm talking to are saying, just wait till we get done, and then we'll see what happens. But I've been there before. When things are done and they're gone, you can't get them back. It's going to flood me out.
Well, here's the question. What's the distance between the ditch line or your property line in unit number one? What's that distance?
I've got 13 foot.
Was.
And that was built in 1980 before you guys had the 50-foot setback.
Right. Yeah, I think we need Great River here ASAP. Because this makes, I mean, I was on the project this morning. I went over there and went through the project to look, and I thought that ditch line is so narrow. I didn't know this was on the agenda, but my thought was it was so narrow right there next to your fence.
They're actually, they moved the right-of-way over to within about 8 or 9 inches of my corner pin on my property. And then right behind, up on the upper left-hand corner of that, right behind my fence, behind my units, they've jumped over 9 foot. You know, they bought property from the corner owner. Now, he's from California, but it's definitely going to flood his place. No doubt.
The way that it looks now, and I can't figure out how, without some form of either a concrete trough, concrete culvert or something, when the water comes down there, there's no place for it to go except collect and then run down across his driveway. Yeah. It doesn't look to me like it's going to work at all.
And then if you'll go on my sheet there to the lower center there where I've got an existing berm.
Yep.
I put that in about 3 years ago because I had so much water running down to the lower part, it was flooding my units there, and I put that berm in. And it took it again. It dumps in the ditch, but it's dumping right on the new culvert that they put there. It's gonna make that culvert bare on the first rain. And I talked to Tom Anna. Is that who you talked to, the head inspector?
No, this was one of the other inspectors. He wasn't available.
And see, unfortunately, the inspectors, they're just saying, does it match to the engineering plans? Yeah. They're not going to say, oh, this is not going to work. I mean, their primary job is to make sure that they're building it to.
Spec.
Right, they should be able to.
But
spec.
I'm just.
It's a failure.
Rains right now, this whole project would be washed across T Highway. Yeah. We just hadn't had. This Tom Anna I talked to, he said he came out the other day when it was raining. He said there wasn't even any water got in the ditch. And I said, we had rain at the house the last 3 days and it totaled less than a quarter inch.
Yeah.
You know,
we need Great River here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
And I would say if we can schedule it, I would like you to come back just to hear what they're saying, because what's going to happen is you're the most familiar with your property.
Yeah.
And they can give us all the numbers and the readings and their surveying, and we can use our common sense, but this is your property. You'll know it the best.
Yeah. What you need to do, John and Randy, is take this to them so that they can, when they come, they've got a copy of it and they can say.
Well, scan it. Can you scan it? Have Kathy scan it or Debbie, yeah. Deborah scan it and send it to Great River and say.
I'd send it to Great River
and get ready. And we need them here.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt. Because I need to hear what they're thinking.
This is the grades that I shot. Plus, they're going to be adding another 4 inches to the height of that on their asphalt, I'd imagine.
Right. They probably will.
So, and there's no room. There's only 5 foot between my property and the edge of their.
Do you remember if there's an easement on the other side of the road? Could they not shift the road?
I'm not sure what's on the other side. The inspector I talked to yesterday evening said the ditch is going to be 1 foot deeper than what we see, what I seen yesterday when I met with John out there. He said the finished ditch is going to be 1 foot deeper. So that's only 12 inches more depth. But they're going to have quite a bit more width there to carry the volume.
I just don't see how they can handle the volume.
Well, they're right up, like Randy
said
yesterday.
They're right up against the fence right now.
They're up against my fence, and there's not a ditch there. They've just cut it straight down against the fence. It'll wash out. My fence.
Well, I was wondering how your fence is going to long-term stay there.
Well, who's going to be liable for it when my fence falls over in the road?
MoDOT.
Not John White, huh?
Well, I mean.
Well, and if you want some common sense, they told me that they're wanting to, you know, they're worried about cars turning right. We never had a problem with cars turning right on the T Highway. But if they would go ahead and put the ditch back like it was, they still got room to stack up 4 or 5 cars if they'll start at the end of my property where they've got the road right now. They still can stack 4 or 5 cars turning right. They don't need to start plumb up to the end of my driveway. They could put the ditch back like it was and still have their, you know, for 3 or 4 or 5 cars. But.
All right. Let's make this a priority, Randy, getting Great River here.
Well, let me know on Monday what time.
Randy, would you communicate with John?
Yeah, I'll
the fence will be enough, something else that needs to be brought up at that
time. Great River needs to know. I mean, they're designing the same
thing. And I don't know why they didn't design some kind of a, I know they don't like to put concrete, but that something needs to go along there for the fence.
Yeah. I'll tell you what aggravates the public. You've got a property cut right next to your fence line, and you go across the highway, and there's a big vacant property corner. And that aggravates common sense people driving by. It's like, why are they encroaching on your property when you've got this big old lot on the other side of the road?
Or another thing they could do is put a box culvert there that was about 3 foot tall and 8 foot wide, go all the way under T Highway and dump it over onto the Epps property. I mean, it'd be a straight shot. Because if that water circles around the old house on the corner, and then it comes also from White River Electric, and they all dump across T Highway there, and the water actually builds up and runs across T Highway during a big rain.
No.
Huh.
No. That culvert's broke.
They don't even know where that culvert dumps into.
And that culvert's broken.
MoDOT's been all over that thing. I can tell them Epps buried that thing all the way to the lake down there, but they don't believe me. That culvert goes all the way to the lake, and MoDOT says, we don't know where that dump's at. Do you know where it sits? I said, yeah. And they said, no, it can't. And I said, well, I think it does. You know, I've seen them put it in there.
Water truck will identify that right in this dry weather. We can find out pretty fast. Yeah. All right, let's get Great River here.
Okay.
Because obviously it's
and Monday is when your meeting is.
We have next Monday meeting is Monday.
Okay. And I was going to be out of town. Well, Sunday and Monday.
Well, you can listen, or we can. We know what your concerns are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more common sense than anything. Yeah. I mean,
right.
I mean, you can feel free to be out
but
of town.
My fence I built in 1980, and it's kind of rotten off at the bottom now. And we're solid limestone.
Right.
My wife and I have been talking for years about just putting in a stub retainer wall there.
Right.
You know, just turning form sideways, 3 foot tall, and stair-stepping and putting a decorative fence. And I talked to them about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and MoDOT said, well, now if we do that, that's going to cost us 5 or 6 times more than a normal person. You know. And I said, I know, but I'm still going to get flooded here.
Yeah, no, we need to figure this one out. You don't have to be here. We know we understand the concerns loud and clear. Randy
well, I
does.
Can be if I have to.
You don't have to be.
Okay.
You can listen. I mean, we will audio broadcast record it so you can listen to it.
Okay.
I mean, you can if you're near a computer, you can listen to it.
As a matter of fact, we could call. Have you call in?
If you wanted to, we could call you if you wanted to listen in.
And you could listen in and respond right here.
If you wanted to, I mean,
my main concern is their time frame. They're telling people that they're going to be done in a week to 10 days on this project, and we're so far out on that with these problems. I can't see how they can do that. I'm concerned they're going to go ahead and do something before the corrections are made.
But I don't think John needs to be available. I mean, we know the concerns. I mean, we know the fence concern, the volume of water. You shooting grades here has caused enough questions for them to reshoot grades. And then we've got, you know, the improvement upstream and with White River's building. I mean, we got to look at all those things.
Yeah.
But you can call our office and she can transfer you down and you can listen right here off of this
thing. Well, I'm going to be down at Knoll, and that's
it's don't worry about it. We can run with this one. We can run with this one. If you wanted to call later on and get an update from Randy, feel free to do that. But we can handle it from here. I'm convinced with this, Randy. As long as you get this to Great River,
okay,
we'll take it from there.
I just want to fix the problem before we have
a
problem.
We do too. We do too.
I hate to tell those renters that they're flooded out.
Yeah, that becomes
because then I will probably be liable rather than MoDOT or whatever. So.
At least you'll be the front line, and we need to avoid all that frustration.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay.
Wow.
After our last meeting, we had. You wanted to know some times when we get started on KDOT finishing as far as guardrail. The guardrail will begin possibly Friday or for sure next week. We're going to get the guardrail installed, and that shouldn't take him all that long. Also next week, pertaining to this project and a couple other roads, David and I is going to meet with Table Rock to schedule some asphalt work, and we're going to see when we get this one scheduled and a couple other roads in the county we're going to have them look at. So we'll try to get that underway. Hopefully this month we can get paving done, but I want to get KDOT as shortly as I can after the guardrails installed so we can get that one completed. We are starting chip seal Monday. We are working on, we've got one in checking out our oil distributors. We've got one that sprays just a little more oil than the other, and we're still trying to correct that problem. We've got a guy I'm going to have looking at it. He's the main guy with Aetna that helps with this equipment when you buy new. He helped us with our chip spreader and old trucks or any issues. That's what he does, and I don't foresee any big issue, but it's just something that he's wanting to check settings on. But other than that, we're pretty much ready to go with chip seal. The topic oil and lubricant products for all four shops, we're using right now between the three road and bridge shops and then the mechanic shop, we're using three different vendors on our motor oils, hydraulic oils, grease, different things. And with the money expended on that, I was thinking about bidding that, the specs out on the oil to see if we could get a better deal for one vendor to serve all four shops if we couldn't get a better deal on volume. Mm-hmm. I want to deal more in bulk rather than see if we get a better deal.
That makes complete sense. And, if you didn't get any.
I'm trying to gather information there and then put it out for bid. And
you'll get with Ron. And then
I'll get with Ron. As soon as I get, I've worked with these guys and the mechanics to kind of see what, and we want to put it out there and see what the results are and give our mechanics time to also review these to see if it meets all their needs.
Okay.
So
you're going to work with Ron Erickson?
That may take 2-3 weeks yet before I get that out there, because I got to gather some information yet and stuff to put out there for Ron. I'm going to jump down one. The city of Branson talked to you in earlier meetings about some drainage on Fall Creek. City of Branson has a project they're wanting to bid out, contract out, and that's in the Rainbow Shoals subdivision, which includes Dalton, Shady, that particular area off of Fall Creek.
That's the low spot right there.
That low spot right there.
Is it Woodlands condos or Woodland? Those condos or apartments are right real close to that intersection right there. Okay.
Yeah. And there's existing culverts across Fall Creek that they're wanting to replace and put in a concrete box structure, basically 1.5-4 foot type structure, which they can get the volume without water trying to surface over Fall Creek, and then it causes flooding issues with property in Shady and Dalton Drive below that. They're going to replace culverts on them two roads also. And they're wanting to bid this out. They estimate the cost of this project around 100 plus thousand, somewhere in there, about 100 to 110. What they're asking is if we would help them with the cost of the concrete box, being it's going under our road. They're going to do all the construction. Have a contractor do that. They don't have the time to do the construction.
How close is that section to where their maintenance ends?
Quite a ways. I mean, we're talking a mile and a half from where their maintenance ends, up there where the three lane goes to two lane.
Now, on 165, where we fixed that intersection, from there to Dalton's not very far.
Well, Dalton and Shady, all of that's within the city limits, all of that.
Well, all Fall Creek is, but basically, I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way that we could cost share and then turn over that part of that road to them. I mean, ultimately, they want us to improve the road, and they would like the maintenance of the road. They just want to improve to a Super 3, I think, is what they want.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way for us to ante in some money.
It's closer to the 165 end. That's
over by
half a mile.
Yeah, it's over at Stinger's property.
It's maybe a little over half up to that point, I think, from 165.
Probably more. Dan, you know what we're talking about. On Fall Creek, there's that.
I know.
There's a storage place, and then there's that old bed and breakfast that's now Kung Fu owns that. And then it's a little further down there, that intersection's a little further down there on the right. Dalton goes right there.
Well, you go past the Wildwood intersection, it's above that, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, it's above that. We've got a big box that goes across Fall Creek at that point. At Wildwood, I think, turns left, and you go on up around the next corner, and then you get into that area they're talking about.
Yeah, I think.
Dalton is over. Isn't Dalton on the other? Yeah, Dalton's on the other. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, who manages the 165 intersection? Our road intersection that we improved, does Branson maintain 165 right there?
I don't think so.
I think that's MoDOT still. I'm sure that's still MoDOT maintaining that.
Shady's the one that goes down and runs into Illinois that we've had.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
But anyway, what the city's asking is they estimate the cost of this box structure going under Fall Creek to be around $7,000, not to exceed about $7,500. And they was wondering if we would
provide that.
I'm thinking along the same lines that Mr. Straffa says, as far as that road has been so confusing. And we actually, I don't know whether it was Jim, it was you that met with Miller.
I met with a bunch about possibilities of that road.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be willing to pay for the whole project if they would take the whole road.
Yeah. Well, no, if it's going to cost $100,000+, I don't understand what they're doing. I can see another cost.
So there's a water flow issue, I guess.
Well, there's some flooding and water flow issues.
That's to help them with crossing ours. None in Dalton or Shady, right?
Right.
They just want some help in for the box.
Right, across Fall Creek. And they're trying to control some volume of water. Once it leaves Fall Creek, it runs down through property and then crosses, I think, Dalton first and then Shady. But they have drainage issues, so they're...
They've been needing to do something with that dip there for some time.
Right.
I'd like to think about that a little longer. I mean, okay. When are they going to start the project? Do you know?
They wanted to try to do it this year.
Okay. I'd like it.
I don't think
I know what they're talking about.
They got to bid it out, so they didn't have really a target start date. So.
Someone there on there. Have some of them come over.
Yeah, let me go talk to
them. We need to talk to them some more. Now, who I've been talking to is their engineer, and then Keith Francis also, okay. And then David Miller was in the last meeting. We kind of just reviewed their final plan on this.
I understand what their need is, but
right.
Danny, you're right. The entire Fall Creek is so confusing for where does our maintenance start, where does it end?
Law enforcement,
and then all the things that go along with it.
Right. There's so many off-roads.
And the reality of them thinking that we're going to improve that road to the standard that they're asking,
right.
Last estimate I heard from David Miller was close to $6 million to improve that road, not counting the intersection relocation.
Right.
I mean, they want to relocate the intersection.
That was talked about several times. And
I mean, we even did the Tiger 3 grant on that one or Tiger 2 grant on that. Yeah. So,
okay.
Let me have a conversation with some people in Branson.
Okay.
Let's just hold on that one.
Okay. Devin can bring up the pole building. He's got an idea that I think you want to share this while I'm getting some other information here.
The salt shed is in pretty sad shape. I mean, it's not worth rebuilding. And I got a quote there, and he's got the copy for like 30 by 120 pole building. So just siding on the back, the mm-hmm. metal siding and the two ends and the front open, just for storage for all of our equipment or crack sealer.
Right.
Paint beads, tires, what have you. I just felt that it'd make more sense financially to do something like that versus putting money into something.
What'd your estimates come in at?
It was 14.
About 14,000?
That's for all the materials.
14.
Would we put it up then, our guys?
If we put it up.
Well, let me ask you this. So. While we're there, while we're talking about that, and we've got company hired per hole for this guardrail. we could go up and where those concrete, because part of that, I would like to cover that entire concreted part of it if we're going to do that, mm-hmm. all the way the full length, not at the end of the salt shed, there's an open bin for salt or some.
We keep our eyes controlling it.
Okay,
yeah.
But I'm saying if we can have them, they can drill right down through that and we can fill it in and have a pole building that would be there from now on.
Yeah.
We got to do something.
It wouldn't make sense to me to put money in that. The boards are rotten on it. It's setting down in the hole. We need to build it up a little bit.
The money we got from the insurance company, I don't think, did it touch the salt shed? Did we get any money from that?
For the roof.
Should have.
For roof damage. I don't know how much we've received yet. I know
we received the whole check. We got all of it.
So, I mean, that is what we was thinking about using what was left over in that to.
Well, let me ask you a question. How much did you remember the roof material cost us? What was the bid? Was it about
$7,000?
That's the number I think of. Dan, you remember?
I can't remember on that, but I talked to Biggsy about it and visited with him, and he said to replace the building. There's no need in putting a roof on that particular building.
Maybe it's 10-something.
Okay.
The total material bid mentioned, Herman, remember?
Yeah, it was 10 or 11. It wasn't much.
It was just barely over 10.
I think with the insurance money we did get and the fact that we did it ourselves, I believe there's $14,000 that we could spend that was paid for by the insurance. I mean, if I'm doing, if I use the $10,000, let's say it was 12, and then there was, what was the other thing we just repaired?
The roof on the main building.
Yeah, we got that.
Wasn't there another claim somewhere else, Danny? That's why we held that fence at the fence court?
No, the power side.
Power side fence. Power side. And that was $1,200. I think we have insurance money to cover this pole barn because we got a sizable check for all the damages. I don't see investing in that thing. I mean, I've been out there. I wouldn't invest in it.
And I think all the repairs have been done. Except I think he's going to be there and finish the fence next week and complete that. This is the only thing we let go was the roof on this particular building. I think everything else has been.
Didn't the power company have to core the pole they put in on the top side? So the reason I said that about
we're sitting on rock.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, the guardrail people.
The guardrail people, and they go up there and sock those down for $100 a hole or something like that.
Yeah, we got a big cost for that. I mean.
So, is that, you said, how big a shed are you proposing?
It's a 30 by 120.
And that's big enough for the storage that we're looking for.
Yes.
Does that go all the way across the part I'm concerned about?
It would start at like where the calcium tank is now. And it would go all the way down to where that paved area is you're talking about before our rock storage.
Mm-hmm.
It would end right in there.
Right. Where the concrete, it actually has a concrete
Well,
it would
go beyond that on that paved area.
Well, you would want to go on down that far.
Yeah, it's probably another 40 feet past that.
And you got an estimate of $14,000. I'm all for it.
I'd say go ahead and go with Mr. Erickson and get a bid going. Unless we can buy off a state contract somewhere.
Now.
Because we were specifically using insurance on this.
It's that was off of our bidded material.
Well, basically, we've already got a bid for that particular type of material he'd be using. Rather than put money in that old building, as we get time, we take it out, and as we get people available, we can work on this. I mean, we can have the whole string of different things.
Fall before we get to it.
I would 100% say go ahead and do it. We have the insurance money. We recently just looked at it. That's why we're so fresh in our mind. So we have money from the claims that we
paid. And it doesn't come out of it's one thing to have you boys relay because it's a concern to the Road and Bridge boys us spending a certain amount of dollars without certain other things being involved, and this money has no effect on any of those decisions that are being made, and you guys can explain that to them.
I mean, this is insurance money, so we're going to spend. I think that's a great. I think that's great. That's what we need to do.
How many holes are we going to need to drill for that?
Well, you just, I mean, coordinate with the design and markings so these guys can drill.
As far as the holes are drilled, I mean, you're going to have 20 plus holes at least. Depending on pole building.
Talk to him again and see what we figured up on how far apart they were. I don't remember.
If you would just use Danny's suggestion, just work with them to figure out where you need to. If we can save some money or save some time by drilling them now,
yeah,
let's go ahead and do that.
Now's the time to do it. Well, you got an open area. You can get in there and back right up and get them done.
If it's not going to, you guys just. I mean, what I was suggesting is, if it makes sense, please do it. If it can save a few dollars, please do it. But yeah, if it's going to cause a major problem,
if we're going to drill the holes and square everything up and at least have them in anchors, we really need to push the building onto the lower part of the lot and get rid of it later so it's out of the way, that existing building, and be able to do what he wanted to level, and then we'll find out if we really need to drill holes.
Okay.
Go to that expand or.
Okay, so you got some prep work before you can do that.
We have to get rid of the building first.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what Dan's concerns and thoughts are, so let's do what's best.
Our last meeting, you gentlemen asked for what is our annual cost for a road maintenance of our county roads, and I was trying to think of the best way to do this, and basically what I come up with is using our actual expenditures.
Right.
I picked out 2011 year.
Okay.
Because 2012 we've got, I was trying to use actuals, not budgeted, because sometimes we run over, sometimes we run less.
Okay.
So I went down, had Kathy and these guys help us. We sat there in a meeting, went down here, we picked out items, and that's kind of how you follow along. What's in red is the year we picked. And we moved over to a column to try to get a base cost of what we put into our road system throughout a year's time. And there's several things. First thing we put over there was, of course, labor.
All right.
Which is the $2 million. And then we went down through there. There's some office expense. There's equipment expense, hand tools, different things. Stuff that we have to pay for, budget every year. I kept out certain items that's specific to specific road surface type. Hot mix, cold mix budget. I didn't include that in there, just in the general maintenance.
Okay.
Because we split these roads out by percentage, by total miles. We got 560 total miles within the county road system. And then with so much of this is hot mix surface that we will resurface, so much of it's chip and seal, so much of it's gravel. So each one of these has a different cost for maintaining them as far as the surface. All of them get snow removal. All of them get mowing to a certain extent.
Right.
So when you get to the back page, the first column, basically there that I've got total at about a maintenance cost per mile of road. That kind of gives you a base cost right there of $5,798.
Okay.
And then the next column over there, this is the additional. If we'd done a 1 mile of hot mix surface, wanted to do 1 mile, the cost right now, big cost, for a 2-inch overlay, 1 mile, 20 foot wide, is $80,000. That's just what our material is going to cost for that amount of tonnage.
Okay.
So, and then we base the life expectancy, and we determined in talking that we get about 15 years out of the surface life. Some may go longer, some may go less before we have to go back in and either re-overlay or do some other type work on that as far as the surface. So that's how we come up with that $1,391 as a annual additional
cost.
So really the load...
Based on the amount of roads in a year and what we're going
to
do.
So it's basically costing us about $7,100 a mile to maintain a hot mix road.
A hot mix surface road.
Okay.
And then the same thing, we use that same process on the chip seal, is we know what our amount of oil, we know what the amount of chips, so we took that cost, that's what it takes to put the new surface down on a single coat chip seal. So we took that cost, and we based this one on what our turnaround is on today's, which we're only being able to do 40. We've got 300 and I forget the total miles of chip seal right now, but whatever that was, that's what we based our turnaround on. So then that's where we come up with the 4909.
So I see there's a number above that. Just disregard that number above that.
Yeah, that's an annual. You think what that is?
Well, if it's not regarded, I won't circle that number.
What that is, that number above that is, that would be the annual for chip seal surface type road.
Without
split that out over the life of that surface.
So, just in that, I heard you say something. Hot mix, we get about 15 years total before we have to do a tear out.
Basically, a re-overlay, and some we might get a little longer.
What's our lifespan of chip seal right now?
Eight.
Most of it we can get 5, 6. Some will go 7 or 8. Depends on the traffic volume and the winters. There's a lot of variables goes into it.
Okay. And then the last number I
said 40 miles a year you're set up
on. Right. I mean that.
So I was doing the math. Is
that kind of hurts us if we're only doing 40? But
okay.
Budget is the reason.
Sure. And then the last one is $1,200 for gravel.
Right.
Okay.
Maintenance load. So that's
based on a 20-foot wide swath, 1 mile long.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay. Always base it just kind of on that and gives me a cost.
I appreciate that. That helps me tremendously. At least. You know, at least it's a starting point where we can kind of have some sort of guidance.
Right. I mean, there's several costs that will vary from year to year depending on what our actual costs. I mean, and you're going to have your projects, but you can total them all up, and it comes to anywhere budgeted what we expend on roads over $3 million.
Right.
So.
That's what we're needing anyways. We'd get a better idea of how much to try to figure out.
Exactly. I think that's a good help.
This is a copy of a different one. This ain't.
Would you make sure, Randy, you at one time go over this with Ron a little bit, just kind of in passing, give him a copy of this. So
sure.
He'd want to know it from.
Right.
I mean, you could leave it to him, but he may not understand it like I wouldn't have. So if you would just make sure you spend at least 5 minutes with them specifically about that, that would be great.
Okay. I mean, is that...
That's exactly what I was looking
for. Are we headed in the right direction there? I mean...
Precisely.
I can give you a cost if you wanted to go out there and do a mile of hot mix, but
we're looking
what
for
is
averages.
That grade out or that, average by all the other things we do to the roads?
No, this,
and
this,
all this,
this
other information includes all your work orders,
it helps us, but this is also, as a starting point, it helps the public to say, okay, you know, yes, we can take your road in, and there's nothing wrong with it, but we're still having to plan to spend $7,000 or $5,000, what is the number, what was your last number for hot mix?
$7,100.
We have to plan $7,100 for every mile we take in, even if your road's in perfect condition.
That's...
Because
that's
they need to understand
year.
That it's
right.
Every year forever.
Right.
So I think this is a great starting point. I really do. And this will help us, and it helps the public too. All right.
Let's see.
So you got KDOT, the guardrails are starting. We've already talked about chip seal. It's going to start Monday.
Got that.
I see the last item. We don't have any personnel executive schedule, so we can't go into executive.
That I was going to take off there because I wasn't quite ready, and that had to deal with an email that I think you guys had got.
We did.
I believe Harlan got, and I wanted to talk, find out a little more information first before we bring that to you. So.
And Monday we have an executive posted for personnel for other reasons, so if you want to bring it up at that time.
That would be better, because I need to gather some other information. I didn't have enough.
We have personnel rescheduled on Monday.
So I'm done, unless these gentlemen or you gentlemen have something.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've got a very large problem. Our Hill and Quarry out there has quite a bit of material in it. APAC is in the process of buying out there.
Okay.
They're going to move in and set up a crusher and a hot mix plant. They're doing all 160 and 125 in less than probably 2 months. They want all of our material gone off the floor, which is several thousand tons.
How big a area do we need?
I can staff a certain amount there at the shop, maybe get all we necessary in the entrance of it. We can do them piles later. What they need is the floor clear, which is probably 30,000 tons. And I can probably stack that there at the shop very carefully.
Okay.
But we need to get it moved off here in 6-7 weeks. The problem is starting to chip and seal.
Right in the middle of our chip seal program.
Yeah, that's the kill. Had we done this a couple of months ago, it wouldn't have been too large a problem.
What? These are our vendors, and it's a very sensitive subject, but we should have some coverage under the contract. So anyway, I'm going to recommend that we look at maybe a lease on the property that's behind there. I haven't got a chance to talk to those people yet.
Well, but we don't. If we're going to move it, let's move it to our shop.
Right, but what it does, it disables our shop from any other primary use that we have. I mean, you're talking about mounds of material.
Is there anything we can't? You've got no room.
It'll only be two times to try and truck it.
What I think is we try to negotiate some place that we can stock that close there and use it.
Is there any property adjoining? I mean, how close is the Hilda Quarry? Isn't the quarry close to your shop?
About a mile and a half, yes.
Is there any property right around the shop that we could possibly?
There's a possibility.
That's what I'm going to check.
I mean, over by the shop, not near the quarry. I'm thinking just go, if you're going to load it, let's load it and get it closer to the shop so it's easier access.
I've been home for 2 or 3 days myself. I've been driving the truck and dozing. The problem is the manpower, even when we do get her spot, that's why I was going to ask you if there's a possibility we could work Fridays, maybe some Saturdays. Take it as comp time, and then if you'd allow us to the first year to use comp time up, it wouldn't be a bottom line impact on the salaries.
Randy?
I've got a gentleman coming next week. He's supposed to be down here, I think, sometime next week, that's actually over all the quarries, and we can get more definite dates. We got to move a couple of piles in there because they're going to set up this plant to do some state work. These other piles, I want to find out more definite timelines because the information we got, nothing's finalized as far as anything between Jernigan and APAC right now. Anybody you talk to, there's nothing, and nobody will tell you any definite until it's a done deal for various reasons. So I don't know what their future plans are for that particular area. Maybe we can find out a little more definite information to find out what timeline are they going to put us on to have to move a lot of this?
The definite part is they're coming in, drilling, shooting, starting next week.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Is that material any value to them?
At one time, I had an arrangement made to possibly buy back this one large pile. They offered to perhaps buy it back.
There is a pile we'd like to give back to them. It's of no use.
Well, but I guess the question is if we could sell this or get a credit, because we're going to use APAC and the other, because they've got the contract, right? Or at least, could we not try to get a credit and not have to haul it and just say, we estimated this much and get a credit toward it, or could we not sell it back to them?
possibility. What Randy was talking about, what they decide, even if APAC does not purchase them, the Jernigan has the contract on these roads. They're drilling and shooting next week. They're moving in a crusher and they're moving in a hot mix plant.
Right.
They don't have room to set it up for our materials. There is some materials that's out of the way that's not a problem. But these basically probably 30,000 ton has to move, period, regardless.
But if it's their material, then we have to deal with it.
Right. We only have to move what's ours. The other, we shouldn't be obligated to have to move.
They didn't ask you.
There's some piles of waste stuff there, and they're not us.
Right.
That's up to them. We just have a couple of piles there, and that's what I want to find out.
The timing's the issue, what I see. What I'm hearing is the timing issue. It's not so much the ability.
Right.
The
What do you want to do, Danny? You want to talk to some people?
Yeah, I need to talk to some people that are close.
I really don't want to shut. I don't want to interrupt Chip Seal. I don't want to interrupt the bridge. I don't want to interrupt the work these guys are doing just to do that right now. So
the only thing with comp time, it's time and a half comp time, and it hits our budget directly. Even though.
Well, if they take it off, does it though? If we take it off, no.
But we're still paying for the time and not getting the labor. I mean, either way you look at it, we're still paying for it.
It's going to hurt us even if we do it later, because then we're not going to have the personnel available when we probably need
it. I understand. You're going to talk to
get everything. He's supposed to be here next week. He's going to call me, and where Harlan and I can talk to him. We're going to meet there at the quarry, and you'll find out what they actually need and what kind of timelines.
Danny,
as far as what's
side,
critical and what isn't.
Let us know. Let the commission know what you want to do, what you think we need to do.
Well, Jeff spoke to him this morning. He said we possibly have at the end of July. We got 30,000
things. Right. You guys, I think, Danny, you've got some ideas.
I think we'll work on some things that are close.
Wow.
All we got to do is get it out off the premises there. So.
And yes, APAC hasn't took over, but it's in them. Right. It's in the process, and that's why I say the Jernigan had the contract. They're going to shoot next week. The plant's coming in, and the mixed plant's coming in, the hot mix plant. So right. Regardless if their sale falls through, they're still jammed up on the room. So we've got to have piles one way or the other.
All right, what else do you guys have? Mr. Stahl, Mr. Huffman?
No.
Just a couple things I was going to throw out, just under the auspice of Road and Bridge. The railroad crossing, Danny, MoDOT's been talking to me. We're working on, remember that letter we sent? They're working on figuring out and making sure that everyone complies to the law. So they are in communication with the operator of the train. And
okay. We probably don't want to discuss too much of that. I think they're down in the other building today.
Yeah, so they're just... So what I would just say is there is communication on that, so there's movement on that. And then
let me ask you one thing here real fast.
I'm
sure
you're going to say junk. It's not. All right, I don't have anything else. Anything else? You're going to get, Danny, you're going to get with Mickey once you schedule Great River for Monday,
right,
if you can, and then you're going to work with Mr. Erickson for the oil and lubricant bid, and then personnel possibly Monday. We have it if you want to use it. You can't, you got some time
on
Monday.
Hey, yeah, I need to find out a little more before we do that.
Okay.
Do you need contacts to talk to Jernigan? I don't have APAC contacts.
Well, I was wanting to find out who the APAC deal
Who's
is.
Who's this?
I talked to one this morning, and really what he's saying, there's nothing really finalized. There's nobody going to tell you anything because that is the nature of the negotiation.
Yeah.
So really there's not a whole lot.
I figured we'd be the first people they'd contact.
Well,
it's still in negotiation.
Yeah,
right.
It's everybody's here. It's done, like I said, even if they don't merge, it still has to be moved through their process.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very time sensitive.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. Looking at the agenda, I have nothing else. Is there anything else, Danny?
No.
Anything else for Nikki to post on Monday? I mean, this is the last window here, so.
Have we got, we better post a road and bridge possible contract.
For Monday?
How's it posted for road and bridge? Anything?
Nothing's on Monday for road and bridge.
Well, we better have something because if we find out some of these.
Well, we'll have posting for road and bridge under the T Highway intersection. That will be posted for Monday. And yeah. We'll have road and bridge subsection T Highway. That will give us an opportunity to do road and bridge discussion.
What I'm saying is if there's something worked out that's a proposal from this location move of this material.
We don't have a contract. It wouldn't operate under contracts because we don't have one.
Well, we'd have to come to an agreement to do it.
Right. So. And we have contracts posted on Monday with legal. So we've got all the four.
Under legal?
Yep.
All
so right. We can operate that way.
Okay.
All right. Then
with motion to.
We have a motion to adjourn. I'll second the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries. And we are adjourned for the day.